for Zera Kodesh for Parshas Yisro. And rather than to comment on any of the psukim, which he does throughout the Parsha, I'd like to share with you a thought that he has on Kabbalah Satorah in general, and the perspective of seeing the Koyach HaTorah, the power of Torah, from a different angle. So he begins like this. The Parsha says, Hashem says to Moshe, Koy Soymar Leveis Yaakov, V'Saged Levnei Yisrael. This is what you should say to the house of Yaakov, and this is what you should relate to the Jewish people. And what he's going to focus on is that the first words that Hashem spoke to Moshe as part of Kabbalah Satorah, the first two words were Ko and Somar. Now we start with Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael pointing out, Moshe spoke to the women and the men and all that, which Rashi points out. But the first two words are actually Ko Somar. Ko Somar, so you shall say. And Rashi makes a comment like this is the way that you should do it. But what else is alluded to in those words? Amru Zal, our sages tell us, the Chachamim tell us, Ala Torah, about the Torah, Shenim Shal Alamayim V'Yayin. We find different places in Tanakh, which the Gemara elaborates on, where the Torah is referred to either as water or as wine. And why is that? And essentially what he's really asking is, how can it be both? The answer is, Ki hine matzinu beis inyanim b'Torah. Because there's two elements, two sides, two aspects to the Torah. Meaning, mitzvahs asay, mitzvahs lo asay. Positive commandments and negative commandments. I will point out that there are many ways to divide up the Torah. And there are many ways to divide up the mitzvahs into categories. You could divide up the mitzvahs into ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavero. Mitzvahs that apply today, mitzvahs that don't apply today. Mitzvahs that apply to all people, or mitzvahs that apply to special individuals. You could divide up but the most direct division of the mitzvahs is, as the Gemara tells us, 248 positive commandments and 365 negative commandments. That's the most direct splitting of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So he's going to explain, eventually we'll get there, that that's the water and the wine. But before we go there, habeis inyanim eluhem, why do we have positive commandments and negative commandments? So he says, kamala mashal beiske haguf lishmiraso. He says, you think about this when you think about all the things that you do to protect and maintain your physical health. Yesh beis inyanim, there will be two areas that you will be working on. Aleph, number one, lishmaroso, you have to protect the body, shel yochol davar hamaziklo, by not consuming something that could cause you damage, v'lo yaseh davar hamazik leguf, or not doing anything that's damaging to the body. So in the world of health, there are losaseis. There are things that you should not do. You should not go outside when it's 0 degrees and go for a stroll in wearing just a t-shirt. That's not recommended for your health. I'm using a very mild example. Obviously, we can fill this in with all kinds of dangerous behaviors that people do, and there are instructions that you should not do so. Vahabes, but then there's number two. Yesh inyanei refuos. Then there are things which you bring into you to make you heal better. Shem avar al zeh. Most of the time, it's a result of you've transgressed one of the thou shalt not do in the world of health. So, if a person, let's say, eats too much food that causes damage to part of their body, and now they have to take medicine to compensate, to correct the damage that's been caused by the bad food that they ate. So v'achalo also davar hamazik, you ate or did something that's damaging to you, misrape v'refuos, and now you need to introduce medicine, you need to introduce something positive into the body to help recover. So he says, kein al derech zeh, it's the exact same way, b'inyanei hanefesh, when it comes to matters of your soul. Hamitzvahs lo saseh, the negative prohibitions of the Torah, heim shmira l'nefesh, are a protection to your soul. In the same way that if you take in some kind of chemical that's going to hurt your stomach, you ingest food that's got bacteria in it, and it hurts your stomach, so now you have to take medicine to correct it. Had you not done that, you wouldn't have needed the medicine. So when a person, unfortunately, we cause damage to ourselves. Mitzvahs asay, so the positive commandments we do, heim refuas lahanefesh, they are a healing for your soul, imnis kalkala, if it got ruined. Now you'll say, that's not why we do positive commandments, in order to counterbalance negative prohibitions we've transgressed, and that's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is that you should know that one of the things that mitzvahs do is they're actually part of their job is to correct all the problems that have been created by us transgressing negative prohibitions. So how exactly does this work? He doesn't fill us in. A person talks Lashon Hara and now their soul is blemished. So they sat in the sukkah and now their soul is less blemished. You know, how does that work exactly? That's not for us to know. Now, where does he get such a thing? So Zohar Kodesh can't just make this up on his own, that the mitzvah say is, or he's not looking to do that. He says, Kamash Amr Chazal, our sages tell us, Imasisa Chavilos Averis. What should you do if you've done bundles of Averis? A person thinks about it, and they've done all these terrible things, so what should they do? Says the Medrash, Asay Chavilos Shal Mitzvahs connect them. You should counterbalance them, you should counteract them with bundles of mitzvahs. So we see our sages teach us, and our sages know everything. So our sages told us that one of the roles of mitzvahs asay is to correct the things that we've done as messed ourselves up in mitzvahs lo asay in terms of ourselves. Now this isn't talking about your calculations in Shemayim. But it's saying whatever is within you that has been messed up with your negative transgressions, with your lois asays, so those will be fixed when you do a lot of asays. Nimtza comes out. Shehem refuas al shekilkol abavonus. That on some level, every time you do a mitzvah, you're also taking medicine. You're taking spiritual medicine. Every time you do a mitzvah, that brings a healing to your neshama. U'mesakin b'zeh, and this allows you to fix mashapagam, what you blemished, v'yizdakech al yedei zeh, and it purifies you. Sometimes a person says to himself, who am I to do these mitzvahs? I've done all these averas. So says the Rav Shitzer, that's bad logic. Who am I to take this medicine when I've got all these illnesses? That's the person who should take the medicine, on the contrary. So if a person's done averas, so what you should say to yourself, you know what, my neshama needs some fixing, I'm going to do a lot of mitzvahs, specifically, maybe even more so, because I've done averas. What's interesting then, is that then that counts, your averas count, they can be turned into merits this way. V'zeh sha'amru chazal, and this is why our sages tell us, Ratzah kadosh baruch hu lezakas es Yisrael, Hashem wanted to bring merit to the Jewish people, He gave us all these Torah mitzvahs. Why? Because just like Hashem made it in the world, that the things that you need are a famous chovas alvavas. How long can you go without air? I mean, assuming you hold your breath, a minute, two, right? But how long would you like to go without air? Not at all, right? I'd like to have air all the time. So Hashem made air, should be all the time. How long do you need water? So water is a little further. Food, everything. Hashem made it that things that you need are relative to their accessibility, really the other way. Hashem made their accessibility relative to the need. So he says, we need a lot of mitzvahs. So Hashem made it so that almost everything you do can have a mitzvah involved. Because that's what we need, because unfortunately we do transgressions and they can be fixed by doing mitzvahs asay. L'chein, this is going to answer a difficult Gemara. The Gemara says, Yasha v'loy avar avera, if someone sits and doesn't do any averas, nosnan lo schar ka'osa mitzvah, he gets rewarded like he did a mitzvah. If you just sit and decide, I'm not going to do anything wrong right now, I'm going to go the next 5 minutes without doing any averas, so you get rewarded like you did a mitzvah. What's the pshat? You didn't do a mitzvah, you can get rewarded for not doing an avera. So all the commentaries ask Akasha, there's all kinds of explanations. It means you have an option of doing the avera. You know, all to try to explain what do the words mean. But he's saying, Kemen sheshomer es nafsha mikodem ilavar alosa say, it means like this. If you protect yourself and stop yourself from doing a negative prohibition, you don't need the mitzvah to come and heal you. So then you get rewarded as if you did a mitzvah means you're in the place, you're in the same place you would have been had you done the mitzvah. And furthermore, any mitzvah you do will count towards you in a higher way. But the point is, he's saying that the reason why doing nothing counts as a mitzvah is because part of what the mitzvah is going to be here to do is to fix the lo saseh. So if you have a chance to transgress a lo saseh and you don't, so then it's as if you took that medicine. And therefore it counts as if you did a mitzvah. Okay. So he wants to dig a little deeper into this. He's going to say the same idea again. You're going to hear the same idea, but on a deeper level. How do we understand this? So he explains like this. Ki mitzvah lo saseh, negative commandments, which means a mitzvah not to do something. Hem shmira lenefesh, as we said, they are a guarding to your soul. The way that it's explained by many of the Mefarshim is that Hashem used the Torah to create this world. Istakel b'oraisa u'bara alma. And so this world functions within the system of the Torah. So if you do everything that's in the Torah, then the world functions with you, and your neshama and your body function well. But if you don't follow the Torah, then you're off of creation too. That's the idea. So by not doing lo saseh, you guard your neshama. Shloyiten koach la sitra achra, because then you don't give power to all the destructive forces in the world. Ayide avraal mitzvos lo saseh, which is what happens when you transgress a negative commandment. But vaha mitzvos asay, but the positive commandments haim, afim avraal lo saseh, same idea but deeper. It means even if you've transgressed the negative prohibition, so now you've given power to the other side. So before he talked about you doing a negative prohibition, you're blemishing your soul. But now he's defining it a little more. Is you do a negative prohibition, it's not gone. Let's use some examples, just easy examples. Lashon Hara or stealing. Use both of those examples. A person speaks Lashon Hara. So before he said, you speak Lashon Hara, it damages your soul. You steal money, it damages your soul. But now he's taking a little further and he's saying, you speak Lashon Hara, you create a negative force in the universe, which not only blemishes your soul, but blemishes the whole creation. And when you steal, you've transgressed, you've created an avera in the world. But then when you do a mitzvah, that's why, because usually we say when you do a prohibition, you have to do tshuva. So a person steals, you can't say, you know what, I really need the money, so I'm not going to return the money. But instead, you know, I'll light Shabbos candles with extra kavana. You know, that's not how it works. But from this angle, it kind of does. Meaning that the blemish that you created in the world, the negative forces that you've created in the world, are balanced out by any mitzvah that you introduce. Now, if you're still stealing, or you're still speaking Lashon Hara, you're still adding negative, right? So you should return the stolen objects. But the blemish that you've brought into the world, that is counteracted by you doing a mitzvah and creating a positive force in the world. Now he's going to take it a little deeper. Hine inyan alo saseh, what is a negative prohibition? A negative prohibition, hei b'mechinas gevura v'tzimtzum, that's your left hand restraint, constriction, containment, withholding. Every person has to have the power to withhold, to withdraw, to control themselves. Think about it. Let's take an easy example. Let's take Yom Kippur. No person's fasting on Yom Kippur. You walk by a cup of water. So, I mean, it's Yom Kippur, right? No one's thinking about that. So, but you are constraining yourself. You're holding yourself back. You're saying, it's Yom Kippur, I'm not going to have that. That's an act of gevura. That's an act of severity. That's an act of judgment. Shelo yasa oso davar, not to do that thing. So then you're exercising din or gevura whenever you're not with doing a prohibition. Mitzvah saseh, but when you do a positive commandment, that's the opposite. You have to expand yourself. Hemen bechinas chesed, that's kindness. Hispashtus, extension, expansion. And so the Torah is actually calling on you all the time to practice a restraint and then to practice expansion. And you have to move between these two attributes of chesed and gevura as you perform the mitzvahs of the Torah. He says, Elchein, and therefore, yes.
Should we be tempting ourselves? Like a non-Kippur should be set up a whole bunch of cups of water throughout the house?
Well, I would say yes, if you were short of things that you needed to restrain yourself from, right? If a person doesn't have any really good Yetzer Haras, and so he's not doing any Averas, and it's hard for him to count, so maybe you put out a little temptation in order to, you know, within what you can control. But generally speaking, life offers us enough challenges. There'll be some kid walking around shul with a donut. That'll be the restraint, right?
What about when we have an assay attached to a los assay, let's Shabbos?
Interesting, right? Fascinating, because there you'll have both elements.
You have both.
Right. And that Shabbos is a great example of that, because you see Shabbos, Zachar, and Shamor. He's not getting into this, but the Zachar and Shamor, the Zachar eat, spend time with your chavraya, sing songs, daven, get out with the community, come together and learn, right? That's all. And then there's don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't eat. When you make a salad, you make it like this. When you're this, you're stricting. All the food has to be prepared beforehand. Right? It's all this restriction. Shabbos is that balance of the two. Absolutely. Great example. So he says, but that's why you'll find contradictions in the way the Torah is described in Tanakh. Sometimes it's described as Chengsev Hashem owes La'amo yitain. Hashem gives strength to his nation. B'chinas gevura, that's gevura. That's referring to the strength, the self-restraint and the control of Yidden. That there is no one policing. There's no one policing how you're doing your salad on Shabbos. I mean, maybe in your house there is. But you do it because Hashem owes la'amo yitain. Hashem gives us strength. Uksiv. But on the other hand, we say in Eishes Chayil, Torah's chesed al-lishona, Torah of kindness is upon her tongue. V'nei amru chazal, our sages tell us, sha'olav ha'machshav v'libaris b'midas adin levad. Originally, Hashem had created the intention, or the process, was to create the world so that it should only run on judgment. How does judgment work? You do the right thing, you get reward. You do the wrong thing, you get punished. There's no ambiguity about it, no delay, no process. The world would run that way. But then Hashem saw she'ena olam miskayim, that the world couldn't survive. The Medrash Rabbah, Gemara Chagiga, shitef midas arachmim. So Hashem joined it with the attribute of mercy. The question is, what do you mean join it? Ha'ilo libra midas arachmim levad. Just create the world with mercy. Why did we keep the old system of judgment in place and we partnered it with mercy? The answer is Raki Amru Chazal. The famous Chazal, Pirkei Avos, Hashem could have created the world in an instant. And Hashem needs 7 days. Halo b'maimer echad, yachol lihi ba'ra'os. Hashem could have just said, let there be a universe, and it would all be there. Answers the Mishnah, alali para mi'arishayim, to punish the wicked who ruin a world made with 10 statements of Hashem, and to reward the righteous who maintain and sustain the world created with 10 statements. So he says, now we understand. Kizeu tachles brias ha'olam. Hashem wanted that there should be the attribute of judgment, because you have to have schar and onesh. You have to have reward and punishment. The system of Hashem wants to do good for humanity, the greatest good that He wants to do for us, is through a system of reward and punishment. As the pasuk in Mishlei says, melech b'mishpat, Ya'amid Aretz. The king, if he wants to establish his country, he wants to establish his land, he has to set up a system of law and order. And so Hashem, Machus the Rekia, you know, the heavenly kingdom, operates in using the worldly kingdoms as metaphors, meaning the world below is a mashal for what's really happening above. And in Shamayim too, there has to be din. V'shitaf midas arachmim. So Hashem partnered it with the attribute of mercy, because Hashem wants the world to run, the way Hashem runs the world, with a mixture of chesed partnered with the gevura. But Hashem wants that the chesed should win out. So there has to be a system of judgment, but ultimately it should be chesed winning. How does chesed win? There's a balance between chesed and gevura. So he says, "Shelapa'amim tzar chatzadik lahamshich chasadim chazakim." Sometimes the tzaddik has to call down such powerful chesed, sheyu mizgabrim, that it turns into gevura. Let me give you a human mashal. Let's say a man shows up in front of the police officer. His face is bruised, beaten. He looks like he's just gone through. And he starts to tell the officer about how this individual over there saw him, said, "Give me your money," and then he refused, and then starts piling on all the things that this person did. And then he did this to me, and then he did that to me, and then he pulled out a knife, and here's the wound, and here's the this. So the longer the story goes on, the more, what does the police officer feel for this victim? Hopefully, if he's I say officer, whatever the example is, mercy. And as the mercy and concern and compassion grows, he becomes angrier and angrier. The compassion channels anger, because sometimes chesed requires that someone should do a lot of gevura as an aspect of chesed. So when the person in charge, the person who's responding, becomes enraged when they hear what this poor person went through, and that turns into, so that's gevura. So he says, "Bechinas." That's what we say in Hallel, "Hallelu es Hashem kol goyim," and we say, "Ki gavar aleinu chazdo," Hashem's kindness has overpowered over us, meaning that you've punished our enemies through kindness. But then when the chesed becomes more powerful and it's doing its thing, all the judgments no longer have any place because the kindness is already covering everything. And we don't have time to get into the meaning of this Zohar, but the Zohar says, "Sara de dikna, the hairs of the beard," which is a metaphor, "kshishin inun," they are old, "the chaf yedidin," to subdue the judgments. But essentially what it means is that there's so much mercy that judgment is subdued from upon us, and instead the compassion and the mercy turns into judgment upon our enemy. Because if it was just judgment functioning, judgment would say these worshipped idols and these worshipped idols as we tried to cross the sea. But when it's Hashem's overwhelming mercy bringing mercy on us and judgment on the enemies, none of that applies. That's what it means. Sheshitef midas arachmim l'midas adin. Hashem joined Rachmim with Din means she'arachmim b'chinas gevuras, that the mercy should have the power to create these severity, judgment. And so the chesed is channeled down in the form of gevura as the attribute of judgment upon our enemies. And that's a very powerful chesed. We should be zilchet to it. We have in today's world a lot of enemies. Today's world. We have in every generation, we have enemies. And what we're asking for is if we call upon the attribute of judgment, who knows whether we can survive that. Right? We don't want to challenge. What we're asking is Hashem to have mercy on us. And that mercy, so much mercy on us, that Hashem should become angry at these people who are mistreating His children and bring punishment upon them. He says, L'chein, this is why, Shema Rishon Miyud Gimel Midas Arachmim, the first of the 13 attributes of mercy, which is mercy, Hushem Kel. The Kabbalists don't have Hashem Hashem as the two, but Hashem Hashem is the introduction, and then Kel Rachum Uchanun. So Kel is the first of the 13 attributes, and the literal translation of the name Kel, Lashon Chozek, means might or power. Havu Lashem B'nei Elim, Elei Ha'aretz, the mighty ones of the land. Ki Achasadim Mizgabrim, because when Chesed becomes so powerful, Hashem can subdue our enemies through mercy. Through the great kindness, Shalavinu Shivashemayim, of our Father in heaven, Aleinu upon us, Shemizgabe Begvuraso, that it brings up the Gevura of Hashem, the Hakos Kolsonenu, to smite, Beis Hashem, it should be soon, all our enemies. And this is what we mean by partnering Gevura and Chesed, actually means that we stay within the realm of Chesed. And the pure Chesed on its own, we're trying to bring down upon us. And the Gevura within the Chesed, the Gevura that's partnered within the Chesed, the Gevura that emerges from the Chesed, Hashem should see the wickedness and the cruelty of our enemies, and that compassion should be aroused to bring punishment upon them. And that, he's going to say, an amazing thing, is this mixture of chesed and gevura, which is l'chein b'shabbos kodesh, when we make kiddush on Friday night, on the mozgim the kiddush amayim b'yayin, we mix water into the wine. Right, the different places have different customs about how you add the water. Some people pour from water from the cup, from the kais, into the bottle of wine, and then they pour. Some people will add later during the process, whatever the person's minhag is. But there's a minhag to add water to the wine. So what's the pshat? Right, just three droplets, according to the Arizal. Three drops. What does that mean? So according to this, it's because water is chesed, and wine is gevura. The water represents Hashem creating the world with midas rachamim. The wine represents Hashem creating the world with midas adin. So if you only make kiddush on wine and you don't have water in it, so then you're alluding to the midas adin that Hashem created the world. Bereshis bara elokim, vayichal elokim b'yom hashvi'i, vayivarech elokim. That's the attribute of judgment, and so that's the wine. By adding a little bit of water, we're partnering the attribute of judgment with the attribute of mercy. And this not only brings mercy upon us, but turns the judgment into merciful judgment, which befalls upon our enemies. So if you want to get rid of the enemies of the Jewish people, three drops of water in your wine on Kiddush Friday night. Yes?
We do that every Shabbat, as you said, but I thought for a village I said that. Is that from the Zohar?
This is from the Arizal.
But that's what we do anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do it by all the Suddhas.
Yeah.
Yes.
A sort of a version of this that also goes with rinsing a cup with water before you put the wine in, like you're supposed to coat the wine for chesed.
Right, interesting. As I point that out, the Gemara says that there's a sarid varim b'kais, the number of things you have to do to a cup. And one of them is that you have to wash it inside and outside with water before you use it for something. So that may be related to it. Yeah. But he's specifically referring to the mixing of the water and the wine.
After all, for the Pesach, for the four cups, you also disinfecting the washing.
Right, that's similar to that idea. You're washing it out. But here we're specifically referring, and you'll see why we want it to be diluted. All right, a little gematria is here. Right, let's get some gematrias. L'chein, therefore you'll find, shame, the name Adoshem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, beribua. Ribua means that I don't spell it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, I spell it Aleph, Aleph Dalet, Aleph Dalet Nun, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is exactly 126. Now, when you do this to a gematria, he explains, Aleph, Aleph, Dalet, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. What are you doing? Mor al inyan is pashtus. What you're suggesting is that the word is expanding. Aleph, Aleph, Dalet, Aleph, Dalet, Nun. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's expansion. Al inyan is pashtus ha'oras mi Hashem. So when you have that gematria, Aleph, and it's Hashem's name, so you're causing the expansion of Hashem's name. Mikol os la'atmo. Each letter is itself. V'im osia sha'achreha, and then added to by the letters behind it. So Aleph is on its own, and you could just move on to Dalet, but no, Aleph Dalet. So you've expanded. Then I could just do Nun, but I say Aleph Dalet Nun, I've expanded even more. The gematria Hashem anal v'ribua kuf chavav, and that comes out to 126. So he says, the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is judgment. You don't have to work very hard or know a lot of Kabbalah to know that. It's in the name. Right? Adon is the master, and the word din is in there. That's the name of judgment. And that's why that's the name we pronounce, because we can understand Hashem as king. Yudke Vavke, which is Hashem, you know, beyond whatever we can fathom, we can't say that name, because you know we understand Hashem as the ruler of us. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is the name of judgment. But when you start putting expansion into it, you start introducing chesed into that name, now you've got a mixture of chesed and din. So he says 126 is the gematria of the two words, yayin mazug, diluted wine, which is what the Gemara refers to, the wine that has water. So the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is yayin mazug. metaphorically speaking, when you spell it in expansion. Ki Hashem analu romiz l'bichinas malchus. The name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is a reference to Hashem's malchus, to Hashem's sovereignty. As we said, Melech b'mishpat, the king in judgment, Yamid Arts establishes the land, which means the king is ultimately a judge. And not just a judge of cases, but a judge of everything about the country. He's a judge. So you have to add kindness into that. Which is the concept of adding water to the wine. So he says, 1:26, the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yod is Yayin Mazug. But also, if you have 126, which is the Yayin Mazug, and you add Mayim, 126 plus Mayim is 90, brings you to 216, is the numerical value of the word Gevura. You didn't say, you've added Mayim to the Aleph Dalet Nun Yod, to the 126, to Yayin Mazuk, you've added Mayim, and now it turns into Gevura. That's the answer. Because when you add enough Chesed, Zeu inyan his gabrus hachasad in begvura, this is the concept of empowering the chesed to overwhelm the gevura. I mean, explain that again, a fascinating gematria. He's saying that the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is an extension of the name Ad Hashem, which means it's a name of gevura that's been chesedded, it equals Yayin Mazug, 126, which is diluted wine. But if you add the word water to it, as if you're adding more chesed, you add the word water to that combination, and now it turns into gevura. So he said, because when we call upon Hashem's mercy, it's going to bring gevura on our enemies. And you know, what's one of the reasons I wanted to learn this Torah is we should understand that contained within the mitzvahs that we do, we sometimes worry like, how are we going to save the Yidden who are in trouble here? How are we going to save the Yidden who are in trouble here? What can I do? So you want to wear tags, whatever, ribbons, if you think that helps, it makes you whatever. But here's what will definitely help. Increase your mitzvahs. Increase your mitzvahs specifically by adding more chesed, by doing positive commandments, and specifically focusing on Hashem. Your children are going through a hard time. Have mercy on us. And that is how you can bring a downfall to our enemies. Hashem gave this power to the tzaddikim. Through the Torah, through the fulfillment of mitzvahs. That we can sweeten the judgments. And to include them and to envelop them in kindness. So then, even the judgments are working for our sake, for our kindness. Lizgaber al kolson enu lahakosam, to overwhelm our enemies, to smite them, ayudea Torah, through the Torah, shibichinas yayin umayim, which has this wine and water. Let me say this again. This doesn't mean that a person should learn Torah in order to kill our enemies. You learn Torah because Hashem commanded you to do so. But this power of that's contained within the mitzvah has the power to bring a downfall to our enemies. Corresponding with these two elements of the Torah, Amru Yisrael al Har Sinai, Naseh v'Nishma. So you've heard before that Naseh, which is when you say Naseh, Keneged Mitzvah Saseh, we will do, refers to we'll do positive commandments, and we will do what you command us. V'nishma, and we will listen, we will hear, or better yet, we will add here. I know that's not really. Mashi yitzave, shlo nasa, v'nishma v'nikabu. We won't do, rather we will hear and we will accept. Now, there's a name of Hashem that has 72 words in it. We don't have time to go into the whole discussion about all of its significance, but it is the name that appears, as Rashi in Masechtas Sukkah explains to us, that appears in the psukim that describe Kriyas Yamsuf, but it's essentially the name that Hashem used to split the sea. This name is made up of 72 triplets, which we don't have time to go into, but it's essentially 72 three-letter words. Each of these three-letter words has its own significance, and we've talked about some of them in the past, But as a whole, they form the shame ayin beis, so holy and so beyond our comprehension. But you know, we were given a little bit of information about it, especially once Rashi puts it into his commentary on Shas. Now it's no longer in the Kabbalistic realm, but rather for everyone to have to know and understand. But this is the 72 triplets. One of those 72 triplets is Chaf Hei Taf. Chaf Hei Taf, those three letters together. Or Taf Chaf Hei, as it's more commonly. That's one of the 72 triplets. That's actually, according to some opinions, the name that Moshe Rabbeinu used to smite the Egyptian, according to some. There's different opinions. Some say use the Shema Mufurish, but one of the opinions is that he used the name Taf Chaf Hei, which literally translates as Takeh, like thou shalt smite. And when you say that name, you're calling down Hashem's smiting of our enemies. And so Moshe said that name, and the Egyptian was killed. And that's why, when that's alluded to when Moshe says, Rasha Lama Sakeh Reyecha, that Saf Chaf Hei, is there to tell you that that was an allusion, Halargeni Ata Omer. He says, wait, you're going to try to kill me too? And he says, Halargeni Ata Omer, you want to speak words and kill me? Why do you think he's trying to kill you? The answer is because he used that word again, Sakeh, Saf Chaf Hei, which is the name he used. That's the pshat that they say. And this name appears throughout your davening. We don't have time to list all the multiple places, but I'll just give you an example of Hilo Azafta Darshacha Hashem. Hashem, you don't abandon those who seek after you. Azafta ends with a Taf, Darshacha ends with a Chaf, and Hashem ends with a Hei. In many places. So he says, this name, Taf Chaf Hei, which is one of the names of Hashem to smite our enemies, is numerical value 425, Taf Chaf Hei, is the same numerical value as the word Naaseh. So every time you do Naaseh, every time you do a positive commandment, in a deeper, behind the scenes, you're connecting to the name Taf Chaf Hei, and you're bringing down punishment upon some evil. Hu Hashem Aramus Sof Tevis Shel, and where do we see this term? Liros Mehera Besuferes Uzech Hashem. Please, we want to see soon the glory of your strength. Tiferes. You know what Tiferes is? Tiferes Uzecha. The balance of your strength. So we're asking Hashem, Liros Mehera Besuferes Uzecha. What we're really saying is, Hashem, we want to see your oz, your strength, your gevura, in the form of tiferes, in a world where our enemies are destroyed and we are shown kindness. That's why mehera ends with a hey, tiferes ends with a taf, and uzecha ends with a chaf, because those three letters are the shame of smiting our enemies. Kizat tiferes uzo yizbarach. That's the glory of the strength of Hashem. Kisha osadin berushaim, when the wicked receive their judgment. Umaka esa umos, and when Hashem smites the nations who treat us cruelly. And that's what we say in Mishle, ubavod rishaim rina, with the destruction of the wicked, there is joy. Vizehu, so how do we accomplish this? Really, very simple. Just keep all the positive commandments. If we kept all the positive commandments, that would subdue all the negative forces in the world, which would bring down punishment upon the nations of the world, as the word Nase is Gematria, Taf Chav Hei, 425, because Nase calls upon that shame of Hashem. Every time you do a positive commandment, it brings a smiting and a subduing of our enemies. So, Be'ez Hashem, as every Yid puts on tzitzis, as every Yid starts to put on tefillin, each of these things is another saving of a Yid and the loss of an enemy. He says, and this is why Mashiach ben David, Imachola plus one, is also Gematria Tav Chav Hei. Mashiach ben David is 424, Tav Chav 425. It's because that's what Mashiach ben David is going to call upon this name. Shiyakim b'koach Hashem anal. Because Mashiach ben David doesn't need a sword. He's going to use this shame to defeat the enemies. The war against Gog and Magog, which Mashiach is going to fight, according to the Rambam at least, that's going to be Mashiach ben David. So that's going to be, he's going to call upon this name. That's why that's the numerical value of his name. So he says, that's the first lesson Hashem wants to teach the Jewish people. They came out of Mitzrayim. They had enemies. And they knew. We're going to Har Sinai. Chazal tell us, why is he called Har Sinai? Because with it descended anti-Semitism into the world. Yarda Sina La'olam, the hatred. There's a hatred. It's a natural hatred. When Hashem chooses the Jewish people from amongst all the nations, you think about it from the case of, you had Yaakov, who had 12 righteous sons, and he gave one of his sons, as the Gemara says, a few pennies more of material. And look what happened. Imagine if Hashem chooses the Jewish people from amongst the nations, how they would feel, and they're not tzaddikim. Of course they hate us. So when we go to approach the Torah, Hashem is offering us the Torah. So it's not just, but we're also accepting, what do they have now, 190 countries? Right? So we have 190 enemies. Says Hashem, look at the first two words Hashem spoke to the Jewish people, Kosomar. What's the first three letters?
You know,
in other words, it's interesting. Well, let me just finish the point. Kosomar, chaf hey tuf. Kosomar, chaf hey tuf. Kosomar lebeis Yaakov. Go tell the Jewish people. Hashem, teach them this shame. Tuf chaf hey. Teach them that if they do the mitzvahs, they have nothing to worry about their enemies. The only time they have to worry is if they stop doing mitzvahs asay and they do los asays and their enemies gain power. And yeah, that's a concern. But on the contrary, this Torah isn't going to bring you danger. The Torah is going to bring you security. But if you don't keep it, that's when the danger begins. Yes, please.
No, I was just going to say, we even have enemies from countries where not even a single Jew lives there. They've never even seen a Yid, and yet they vote against us, they hate us. Malaysia is a good example. The countries where there are no Jews, but they still hate the Jews.
Yeah, sometimes Hashem does that because there's a lot, I'm saying, but sometimes people try to give rational explanations for anti-Semitism. We've discussed this a number of times. There's no, and they have all kinds of theories. And the theories are really just trying to reverse engineer. They see it, so they're just following the path backwards. But they're just inventing the path. The real source of it comes through this this Sina La'olam through Har Sinai. And so I think part of it, if I was to say, let's cut all, let's take the religious works of old out. Let's ignore all those. If you would just go back to the last 1,000 years, and maybe someone can correct me, but I believe that the three greatest works in literature to promote anti-Semitism within the last 1,000 years, so let's ignore all the religious works, which are obviously against the Jews, but would be let's go with the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, Mein Kampf, and The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare never met a Jew in his life. The Jews were not allowed to be there. There were no Jews in England, and he never left the island. That means almost by definition, he never met a Jew, never encountered a Jew, and yet still managed to create this false, probably one of the most stereotypical of the caricatures of anti-Semitic perspectives of Jews generated by him, and in Macbeth, there's parts of a Jew that goes into the witch's brew. That's how foreign a Jew is to him, and yet he still manages, because it's, that's what I say, I think sometimes Hashem put it into, gave this bard this story, it's just that we don't try to blame anti-Semitism. Well, this person had a bad encounter with a Jew, and so that's why he has these ill feelings. It's bigger. It's deeper than that. Right? Okay, so he says that's what Hashem starts with. Kosomar chafei saf. That's the opening of Matan Torah. Bechinas haTorah mayim. I'm sorry. Shabba beinim mezikas gevuras v'chasadim. Hashem is saying we're going to mix the gevura and the chesed. Bechinas Torah mayim and yayin. V'zeh shenemar. That's why Hashem says min hashamayim hishmiacha eskolo. Hashem spoke to you from shamayim. I spoke to you from Shamayim. So it's hard to understand that because it says Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. So yeah, the voice is coming. He says Shamayim, Mechinas Eshumayim. Shemayim really means fire and water, Gevura and Chesed, Beis Bichnes Hanal. That's what we say when we learn. We say, Rachmana Amar. Mipia Gevura Shamanu. Wait, is the Torah coming from the Merciful One or from Gevura? Shem Bizgabrus HaChasadim, because Shemayim, ultimately, it's the overwhelming of Chesed, Bichnes Shem Rishon, Yud Gimel Midas Rachmim Kel. Bichnes Zu Nikra Hashem Yizbarach Kel, Kanav and Nokem. Hashem is referred to as Hashem is Kel. Kind of a no came, jealous and vengeful, right? In obviously in the holy way, but kel is usually chesed. Kel kind of a no came. The answer is she no came umekanim beumas haolam. Hashem takes vengeance upon the nations of the world. Ayidei shem kel, specifically the shem of kel of mercy, tokev achasadim, the powerful mercy, kmo shikosev ayikani Hashem la'arzo, vayachmo alamo, Hashem had avenged his land by having mercy upon his nation. And this is really where the Torah ends. He has a little more, which if you have time, I'm going to try to add it in. But essentially what we're learning here, he isn't so much looking to explain the psukim of Matan Torah, as much as to describe that we have to look at Matan Torah as chesed and gevura, as constriction and expansion, and as we seeing ourselves as both of these roles. But when we do it properly, we also have to channel that back up towards Hashem, and to daven towards Hashem, that since we're doing a better job of balancing these two, that Hashem should also specifically give us this reward, the opening of Matan Torah, which is if you keep the Torah and you do the mitzvahs, Hashem will smite all your enemies. And we've been in exile for a long time, and we haven't seen so much smiting of our enemies, but that's because we have to connect more to the Torah, and that's what he's suggesting we do. Okay, now, for those... anyone who wants to stop here, stop here. The next, I'm going to read a little bit more. This is very complicated. I'm going to try to say this a little quickly because we're short on time. So I apologize for the brevity of the attention. V'nikasavti b'drush l'shvuas. I've written in my pirush on shvuas, which is in, we're not going to learn that, but maybe on shvuas. Al-Mashinemer, it says in the pasuk, panim b'panim dibra Hashem imachem. Hashem spoke to you face to face. How do you understand that? What do you understand face to face? It's a metaphor. It means Hashem spoke to us like people. So why does it say panim? So he says, here's what it means in the spiritual realm. Here's the metaphor. Ki'ani ro'im b'tzuras p'nei adam. If you look at anyone's face, you'll see two yuds and a vav. The two eyes of a person form two yuds, and the nose of the person beis enayim beis yudin. V'achotim d'mos vav b'intayim. The nose is a vav between the two yuds. 26, right? V'zeh tzuras aleph, but they also form an aleph. Because an aleph is a vav, with a yud on one side and a yud on the other side. Yud lamata v'yud lamala. One's vav, one's below. Vav ve'emtza. So your eyes and your nose form the letter aleph. V'tachas panim anal. Now he's speaking in the masculine face. Underneath this aleph, hadras panim zakein, there is the glory of the face, which is the beard. Hazaki nudugmas nukudas kamet, the beard is a kamet, the vowel kamet. Nimtza aleph benukudas kamet murumezus b'fnei adam. So every person, or at least within the masculine face, there's a kamet aleph. Kamet aleph ah. And the fact that women don't, that just means it's an aleph without a nukuda. Right? Which he deals elsewhere. He actually says that in certain ways, there's ways to find other nekudos. We're not, it's a separate discussion. But the masculine face is a kamatz aleph aw. That's because you're created in the image of the upper realms. What letters does the Torah begin? We're the base. Why not the aleph? Because the aleph is before the base. Right? Beyond creation. And your face is shaped like a physical manifestation of these upper realms. In Ishkasav, it says, "B'tzelam elokim asasa adam." V'heri yizbarach shmo atzmo yisra ba'oris elyonim elu. And so Hashem appeared to the Jewish people. And whatever the Jewish people, obviously you're not seeing the face of Hashem, it's all midos. But what the Jewish people comprehended was a kamet aleph. Shetzur anal romezus alei. They saw the upper realms, the facets, whatever this means, I'm just repeating the words. They saw a kamet aleph. They saw a Kametz Aleph in the divine realms, and they saw a Kametz Aleph on their own faces. Nimtzahi bechinas beis panim be'elu osius, the two faces. B'zesh amar panim be'panim. Dibur Hashem Yimachem means the Aleph, the Kametz Aleph, faced the Kametz Aleph. Okay? V'zerem is b'rashatevus, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Arashatevus, and beis alfin, there's two Alephs, with a Yud between. Rome is the Yud Dibras, the Yud is the Aseris HaDibras. Shedibur Hashem b'yos panim b'panim, b'chinas beis alfin ganal, so Anochi starts with an Aleph, with a Kametz underneath. That's Hashem's Aleph that he showed us. Hashem starts with a Yud, that's the Aseris HaDibros. And Elokecha starts with an Aleph, that's an allusion to the Aleph of our face. And so that's the Panim Upanim Dibur Hashem Yimach. He says, but it's also interesting because the Aleph, the Yud and Aleph, is Rashatevis of the names Ekia, Havaya, and Adoshem, which combined all these names. It all comes together in kindness. I'm running through this quickly. Bechinas Mezigas Yayim B'mayim, which is again this dilution of water and wine. Shenimtuku al Gavura Shal Bechinas Shem Adoshem B'Hashem Esanal. The name Adoshem, by having also the name Yud Kevavke and the name Ekia, so that all sweetened all the judgments. V'zesh Nemar, you'll never hear this pshat anywhere else. The Oseh Chesed, Hashem does kindness, La'alafim, to thousands of generations, says the Rav Shitzer, the Heilige Zayde, Shikishahaya panim b'panim b'chinas beis alf of Oseh Chesed, La'alafim, Hashem does kindness when we have the two Alephs. When we're facing Hashem with our Kametz Aleph Ah, when our faces properly reflect the Aleph that Hashem created us with, and we are connecting that panim b'panim, so Oseh Chesed la'alafim, then there's kindness that goes through those Alephs. Hakoyim amuzak b'chesed, yashikas la'alafim, lashon alfin. She says, this is why the word alafim, alafim is gematria 161, which is the same as Yayin and Mayim. Shezeh inyan mizag ha-gvuras b'chasadim. This is the idea of mixing the chesed and gevura. L'chein, this is why the name Adoshem, Aleph Dal Nun Yod is 65, and the word meziga, dilution, is also 65. The gematrias are amazing. But the point here is that we have to realize that we have the power within us. The Torah that's given to us gives us the ability to bring a fixing to the world by strengthening ourselves, bringing the right balance to the chesed and the gevura, to appreciate that the Torah is intertwined with the creation of the world, and Hashem created the world in such a way that the better we do with Torah, the better it is for us and for the whole world. Ez Hashem, we should be zocha, kos omar, the Torah starts off with, don't worry, I will protect you from your enemies, just go and receive the Torah. May we be zocha, kos omar, lebeis Yaakov, besagil, lebeis Yisrael, all of us should be mekabel the Torah and perform the mitzvahs. We should see a sweetening of all the judgments, all the difficulties for the Jewish people, all those who need Yeshuas should receive Yeshuas, and all the negative forces should be channeled towards the people who are doing terrible things in the world. Hashem should bring a downfall to them, and we will see the coming of Mashiach, Mashiach ben David, b'meher v'yameinu. Amen.
Recording stopped.
Thank you, Rob.